Good morning, everybody, and it is time for our date morning. Super excited to be here. Yeah, so what we do?
We were in the Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands, and thank you to Aaron and Tony for inviting us. And Chris was spontaneous and just said, sure, let's go.
Yeah, but man, it was really nice. I do gotta thank their hospitality, because it was like going into a resort where everything, you know, you're shuttled to the from the airport, and it was nice.
It was great. And I think that, I mean, over the years, I think that we've lost doing that, just kind of like hosting friends and people. And Tony, or not Tony, Aaron had posted a picture on social media that he was headed to the Virgin Islands. And I think Chris said, oh, let me know. We've never been there. Let me know how it is. And all of a sudden we're at the Virgin Islands. Oh. So we went as well. And it was fun, and we needed to disconnect.
We talked about it before. We kicked off with 100 hours a week working and cramming and just hustling through a lot of things. And then we didn't really have anything to, you know, have that celebration hurrah. So we said, great, I finally got something locked in last minute. Virgin Islands, fantastic. But it was about a week and a half out. So we're like, okay, let's go ahead and just keep pushing. Keep doing the 100 hours until then. And then we can reset.
We did. And I met with my SAS coach. So I have my own coach, and I had all this homework to do, and he didn't expect me to get it done because it was the holidays, all this. And I met with him on Thursday, and he's like, oh my God, you've been working a ton. He's like, I can't believe you got it all done. And I did. And it's because, yes,
yeah,
we crammed. It was like finals. We crammed, but we struggled with stopping because we talked about this on the last Morning Date Live. We struggled with stopping because we'd established that habit, and then we couldn't stop working.
Yeah.
So we were in burnout. We were miserable. It didn't really affect our marriage because we knew we were burned out, and we'd set that goal to like, okay, we're going to stop when we leave to go on this vacation.
So we were, the reason why it didn't affect the marriage is because we were burnt out together.
Yeah, we were burnt out together.
We intentionally replaced date mornings with work mornings. So it was still intentional time. It was still things that we had shared together, but they were work mornings, meaning that we up at 5:30 in the morning, hustling hard, sitting next to each other as much as we could, because I'm left-handed and I have my mouse. Weren't able to sit that close. Yeah. But no, replaced that, hustled through it, tired as hell.
Yeah.
But now coming out of it, I'm still tired, but that's for a different reason.
And during that sprint of those 3 weeks, I actually stopped drinking wine. And just because I'm just trying to get to like next level clarity, like next version of myself, and like just next level. And, you know, Dan Martello always says, if you want to like get something, you have to give up something else. If you want to get to the next level, you have to give up something else.
Yeah.
And so I'd stopped, and oh my God, I feel like I am on some sort of speed, because I'm like super, super hyper, super full of energy. And Chris is like, you have to do something. You're going to drive everyone crazy. Like, yeah, you have to slow down. But it was really interesting.
One thing that I took out of, by the way, this break, resetting in the Virgin Islands, I had some great dinners again with Tony and Aaron, but I'll be honest with you, and Libby's the one that also pushed me into that and leaned in, because I will say Aaron is very inquisitive, but it's because he's curious. And so, you know, that I've been working through this practice of extreme transparency and being more open about things, and honestly about my family, my past, just how I grew up and the struggles I had and issues. And so, you know, he was curious and he was asking me questions, and I was giving a surface level answer, and Libby kept looking at me with a side eye. And I gave another surface level answer after he asked another question, because he's curious. And then I think Libby opened up and said, he's not telling you everything. He's not saying it all.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'd said, you're not being open. Or what did I say? You're not sharing the whole story.
Yeah. And so
that's what I said. You're not sharing the whole story.
Yeah. So I took a minute. I reset. And I was like, that's right. Like I wasn't sure how deep to go and how much I should open up and I guess divulge or give in to telling details. Because sometimes right off the bat, if somebody says, how are you? And they're like, oh my gosh, I just tripped over a branch and my whole day was ruined and da 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 da. I wasn't sure, you know, if I would give that vibe. So I started with the surface level, and then I dug into it. And, you know, me personally, I like sharing things. I like to share those experiences. But it started to get a little bit emotional for me. Not that it was anybody's fault, but you know, as he was asking questions, I wanted to share it and I wanted to lean into it. And I noticed that I was also getting a little bit more emotional or a little bit fired up, you know, choking up a little bit as I talk. But it was a good reminder that one, just not to give surface level basic answers, I think is the takeaway. Is it didn't do me any good. Didn't do me any good for healing by giving these basic, you know what, answers to what I was saying, and you know, people who are genuinely interested in who I am, how I'm doing, where I came from, things like that. So that's what I took away from it, is it's just to lean into being more genuine and stop being surface level.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty open. Sometimes it's too much information, or maybe people don't want to know it, but there's one thing that you can say about me is that, or there's one thing that you won't be able to say about me is that you can't dig anything up that I haven't already shared publicly. And that's how, for me, like, you grow, and this doesn't seem exhausting or tiring. Again, it's, we do the same thing with our employees through lessons, right? We don't just word vomit all over them. It's through lessons and through struggles, and it creates alignment. And you understand them and they understand you more. But Chris had said, you know, it's like when someone says, how are you? And we automatically say, okay. Again, I am so fortunate to be put in a room with some of the most amazing people ever. And they had a speaker, and this is his book, and it was really good. He's probably like one of the best speakers that I've ever seen. And I actually don't know how you say the name of the book. Oh, know exactly what to say. And I can drop the link in later, but this speaker was so amazing because, per your conversation with Aaron, right? When he said, how are you? And everyone's just like, okay. And we're trained to just respond with a generic answer.
Yeah.
Because that's how, you know, do you really want to know how I am? You know, you think to yourself, so you're just going to reply with like, okay, when maybe you're really not. And so he talks about in this book is that you can know exactly what to say, because most of the stuff that we're answering are the same things over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's not new stuff. But we tend to give surface level answers because we haven't thought about how to respond. So it's about like pre-prepping or thinking about what are those questions that I get all the time and how should they be answered versus just your automatic reaction. Oh, how's your day? And then so the other person feels like they have to say, I'm great too, in return. And so it becomes a world of like really surface level relationships and meaningless engagement when we're just like, oh, Chris, how are you? How are you?
Good, thanks.
Oh, I'm good too. Like, oh, I'm okay. Like, and that's what you get. So this is a really good book. The author, I got to see him speak. Phil Jones is the author. It's a very easy book, very easy read. It's little. But if you ever feel that way, like you're looking for more meaningful conversations, how do I get like to know my employee, or how do I get a real answer from them? It's in all how we ask and how we respond. Because we're all programmed, our employees, our family, our kids, we're all like programmed for these surface level answers. Yeah. Anyways, I ran to get this book because it's a great book. So that's why I wanted to share it.
So, and I want to just recap on that is ended up having an amazing conversation, amazing dinner, got really deep into honestly a lot of personal life issues, what we went through, and shared a lot of stories, mm-hmm. talked about sound baths and other types of therapy. So it was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was great. And I think that once you get past like this, you know, surface level stuff, you can connect with people on another level.
Yeah.
And your relationships are more meaningful and impactful. But it's not easy to communicate that way. It's hard. And we feel judged. And we feel like, oh, do they really want to know about my past? Do they care? They don't care. Like getting those things out of your head.
Yeah.
No, I want to change like the way the world perceives cleaning and how they look at the cleaning industry. And so to do that, for me, my mission is like, it's really big. So I had to learn that if I want to do those things, first, I have to come to terms with my own issues, my own struggles, my own negative beliefs, my own trauma. This actually came to me in a Reiki breathing exercise in the room with Dan Martell and a couple other people. I think there was like 8 of us. And by the time we got done, like we were all in tears, and it was that I can't help no one if I cannot talk openly about my past or my trauma or my fears, my failures, not just my successes. And that was like a hard moment. And that's when, you know, I had that conversation with my older son asking, would he be okay with me sharing our past? Because it's not all sunshines and rainbows. And, it, you know, and once you can get to a place of like full transparency and not really caring about how others will take you or perceive you. So I'm looking at my Facebook followers because we have a goal to get to a certain amount of followers so we can make so much impact. And I'm like, I had 87 people unfollow me. I'm like, well, those people didn't like what I had to say or being open or honest. And it was just funny because I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're not ready for that. And so it's not easy. I wasn't ready for it for the longest time.
Yeah. And and bringing that up too, and just that transparency and what Amy mentioned about wanting to share lessons and hopes. Here's the thing that caught me is share lessons in the hope others can learn from them. Again, I always refer back to the book because it's something that really helped me out in me understanding myself, but The Courage to be Disliked. There was some ideas and some talks through there about altruism and really kind of like what we, how to live our lives in the right way. And it wasn't ever based on needing something from others or dependency on others, but it was more of the sense of community. And then going through the exercise again with my sister up north in Virginia, when I went up there and I talked to her about my past and really tried to open up and share everything, the one thing that I made sure, and this was through the help of Libby as well, is what I made sure that I didn't do was ask for anything in return or expect any outcome from it.
Or even an answer.
So I didn't have, I guess the words that stuck with me was in the hope of something that is outside of my control. And what I ended up doing was just delivering it for my own peace of mind and sharing that output. And whatever came from it was entirely out of my control. And I did not expect anything from it except for me controlling what I was saying, how I was feeling, and how I delivered that message. And that's the same thing that I learned from the book was, again, the whole idea of altruism, which it means doing something without asking or needing anything in return. You know, they give examples of like, you know, bears who look at like an animal inside of a lake, and they're curious beings, but they just kind of scoop it out. And you think of it as like a, you know, they're not looking for anything in return. Granted, the thing in return was probably curiosity.
Or they wanted to eat it,
but they didn't eat it. But what I'm getting from that is not making sure that things that you are putting out there subconsciously, you're not asking for anything in return, whether that is validation, whether it's an answer, whether it's confirmation. That's something that I really tried to practice now is making sure that there's no external anchors to my own decisions on whether I feel good about a situation or not. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it goes into coaching and teaching, and like when you coach someone, and you guys, you may see this in some of the way I respond to things on social media, or if I've coached, like helped or talked or anything you've communicated. I ask questions that I don't even want the answer to. I just want you to ask yourself. Ask yourself these questions. I do it to Chris all the time, and he'll go to answer me, and I'm like, no, I'm not looking for an answer. I just want you to think of like, just.
That's where my brain goes.
Repeat those things to yourself. You don't need to give me an answer or justify anything to me. You know, and going back to this topic, you know, I had a really tough conversation with my leadership team in one of the companies yesterday. We're restructuring. We've been working on our new structure, and it's going to take us about a quarter for the team to get used to the new meetings, the new meeting cadences, the new way we're measuring their performance. But, you know, I'm noticing some things in our team, which, you know, I've grown as a person, maybe some of our team has grown, and some people have not. And this may be you, this may be somebody on your team, this may be your spouse, or this may be someone in your family. And this phrase is going to hit really hard to some people, but, you know, I had to say it to someone on my team yesterday and said, I can't help you. I cannot coach you. I cannot mentor you if you're not willing to admit your mistakes. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself, I can't help you. And I think that's a true statement to just even say to yourself, like, I can't be helped by a coach, by a mentor, by my spouse, by a friend, if I'm not willing to admit my mistakes. And, you know, it was funny because the person just responded with a, okay, I was looking for something more. But it's just like, okay, and then I know they're not there yet. They're not ready. They're not there yet. The answer alone told me, okay, like, I know where they're coming from. Stop pushing.
It's the fixation on external anchors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fixation on external anchors, but it's, and you'll see this in some of your teams. So like if you're talking to like a sales rep, your CS, you know, it just anybody within your team, is it always them or is it us? Like when something happens, something breaks, you don't hold up your end of the deal and you're just like, how is it always the external thing and not? And I'm like, statistically, it can't happen. It can't always be them. It's like with hiring, everyone can't suck. The thing that nobody wants to work can't be true. Is it, do they don't want to work for me? Maybe they don't want to work for me, or maybe we're not as great as we think. And so I started to see this, and you cannot help anybody. You cannot. You can't even help yourself. You cannot be coached or mentored. And if you're paying for coaching or you're paying for mentoring, you're wasting your money until you can, like, admit to your faults, you know, own the mistake. Hiring sucks, right? sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
Yeah. So there was something I was trying to remember it, but there was a lot of things that were discussed in that meeting. But one of them was going back to, you know, the idea of the id, the ego, the superego, which in a roundabout way talks about, you know, what's seen and what's not seen with emotion, with action, and things like that. And it came down to the idea that everything is our fault. Everything is our fault in life.
So we teach this, Chris teaches this to our team, and I want you to hear his concept. It's pretty interesting. And it is our fault, by the way.
But everything in life is our fault. There's nothing that is outside of our control in whatever it is that we choose to do or not do. And I've talked about this before, and I won't use, because I've overused it, the example of driving in a car and getting rear-ended and blaming somebody else for being a bad driver. No, it was our fault for not forecasting, for not pre-planning, for not limiting or reducing our risk in that situation.
But maybe I could have left earlier.
Or not even left at all.
Or left at all.
But what I came down to here is, in terms of what's seen and what's not seen, is there's always a point to where things become visible or seen. And so if we're trying to figure out where was that break point, where there was, I guess, I forgot what the term was that I call it. I call it like a deficit. And
I don't remember. But I wasn't listening.
There's a break point to where things start to become seen that it then turns into a reaction, or it turns into an effect. But there's a cause or something before that that is unseen that we never really looked at. And when we talk about it being our fault and with like management and not really making the right decisions, there's always a way to fix a problem or to proactively fix a problem if you find the root cause before it's visible, to go back and trace back that thing to say, well, what if somebody just, maybe they had a bad experience, or maybe somebody showed up late, and that really started to spin things out of control. It's the butterfly effect. But we're only anchoring to those external anchors when we say that they were just really upset all the time. Was there a cause or something that kicked it off way early that we could have prevented? Because again, we are at fault. Is there something that we could have prevented?
A fault is, we use everything's our fault, but everything's within our control. Like you could use a different word in the same way. Because maybe you don't want, some people might get a little disgruntled with saying it's not all my fault, but it is. But if you want a different word, you could say everything is within your control.
But I say that it's our fault because that to me is black and white. There is no subjective feelings. By saying that it's my fault, I'm then able to, again, remove that external anchor and put everything in my control, meaning that whatever I decide to do going forward, I've now solidified that this is my fault, meaning that I have full control over it. If I declare that it's my fault, then I declare that I have control over what just happened. Instead of saying that it's somebody else's fault and I have no control whatsoever, and that's even scarier.
Yeah. Like I said, I had a really tough conversation with my leadership team. I was pushing them on purpose. I was putting them under pressure because pressure creates diamonds, but for the wrong people, it can break them, right? And so I'm trying to put pressure on them to see, can they do this job? Can they do a good job at it? Because then I'll create a diamond from the pressure, from forcing that transparency, that open, that honesty. And if they're not, and I apply that pressure, they'll crumble. Like they won't be able to do the job. They'll step down, they'll resign. They know they can't do it from those things, but it's all in my control. All of it. It's in theirs too.
Yeah. And I will say like step down, resign, whatever. There's been people who we've put pressure, but they repositioned. Mm-hmm. They understood and accepted it, but weren't there yet. So they repositioned.
And they admit, hey man, like I'm not here yet. Or if they step down, they know that they're not there yet. Like they know, like, man, I can't do this job. I thought I could. I'm not, good core value fit, but maybe skill lacked.
But because they admitted it, they pulled it within their control and they were okay with knowing what the next steps were. I think that was the biggest thing is like, if they didn't do that, then there would have been so much insecurity with themselves, so much doubt, so much frustration, anxiety because they weren't able to be real, or kind of like, I don't know, it's just pulling that into your control by admitting it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and again, everybody has a form of like ego attached to things, or we care too much about what other people are going to say and think. Right. I mean, how many times have we heard, or we've done it ourselves? You don't want to fire a bad employee because you're scared they're going to do something. You're scared they're going to leave a bad review. You're scared that they're going to steal stuff. Like, I had somebody message me that she literally feels hostage right now about someone in her office. Could I help? And it's one of those things where it sucks to put someone under that much pressure. But if we don't apply that pressure, like we don't, things become out of our control. Or at least they feel like they're out of control.
Yeah.
Right? And then we're held hostage to our businesses. We become like paralyzed by procrastination or by fear. But in reality, you always have to ask yourself to everything, what's the worst thing that would happen?
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst thing that would happen if I did this, or if I shared transparently? What's the worst thing that would happen if I taught through lessons and failures and I removed my ego?
Yeah. Could I at least be okay with myself knowing that I was open about it, instead of feeling shame because you didn't?
That was so shameful. And you know, I tell the story all the time. I never talked about my past. I actually pushed it so far down. And I don't remember if I said this last podcast, last live. I pushed it so far down that I actually forgot like that happened to me, because I was in such denial and I rewrote my past in my own head that I forgot that happened to me, but it made me who I was right now. And yeah. So it was like living in shame or fear of what other people were going to say. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she let that happen to her. Or like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she tolerated that. And I was too worried about what other people would say. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. I wanted to call Chris out on it, because in our couple's quarterly planning, we do it every quarter. We give each other the permission to call each other out. If he wouldn't have given me the permission to call him out, I would not have done that to him. So I don't want you guys to think I'm some, you know what.
And because I gave you permission, is I have to be okay with it. It's like, I know what's going to come. And so I'm all right. But if you have a spouse and you're like, I'm just going to throw it at him and call him out, but you didn't predefine that relationship, you're going to get some pissed off people.
Yeah, I would never do that without like the permission with him, like us granting each other permission to call each other out.
And the permission is not asked for in the moment. It's at a previous time. I just want to make that like, not, it's not one of those, can I be real with you? Or,
oh yeah, we predefined it. Like we do it every quarter. Hey, call me out on these things.
Yeah.
He calls me out all the time. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm not ready yet. Or, oh, I think I'm going to launch blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what? What'd you say? Cause that's one of the things he's supposed to call me out on. And so you can't just call somebody out if they don't want that, if they're not ready for it, they don't want to have those. And everyone has to be ready at a different time.
Yeah.
Right. But for me, I knew I couldn't get to the next level of what I was trying to achieve in helping people if I couldn't help myself. It goes back to the phrase, I can't coach you. I cannot mentor you. If you're not being real, true, or honest with yourself or with anything, like you're not coachable.
Yeah.
You can't even learn anything. And then maybe we wonder why we're stuck, or we wonder why we pay for maybe coaching or mentoring or courses and we're not moving forward. Because I think you have to ask yourself, am I doing the work in here that I need to do to grow?
Yeah.
I got to be open. I got to be honest with myself. I have to admit when I'm wrong. Otherwise, you're not going to grow. Like I posted a post the other day, the one in the swimsuit. I'm sure you guys all saw me. I did it on purpose. I posted that post on purpose. Typically, I don't show up on social media half naked, but I did it on purpose. And I did it on purpose to hold me accountable. I wasn't trying to show off. I wasn't trying to say, look at me. It holds me accountable when I say I used to weigh 210 pounds and now I fluctuate between 140 and 145. Now I weigh 140 and this is how I did it. Like these are all the things that changed. And the reason I posted it online is because it holds me accountable, because you guys all see now what I look like and I have to keep doing it. I don't want to go and gain 10 or 20 pounds again. I don't want to go and if you don't openly share it transparently and you hide behind, you can gain those 20 pounds back and no one would know. But you'll know. And so when I shared online, because I told Chris I did it to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
so that I don't slip. I don't go back to the old version. I keep going forward. And if I kept it a secret to myself, I would be the only one that I would know. I'd be the only one that would know when I let myself down.
Yeah, but then you'd still have this level of shame that just builds up.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Oh, yeah. Because I've played this yo-yo game with weight. And for all the women listening, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. When I was 210 pounds, I've lived on salads and grilled chicken and like couldn't eat anything. And I would exercise every day and go to the gym. And you'd lose 10 pounds. You'd get so happy. And then you'd gain 9 back or 11. And you'd be like, what the heck? And you wouldn't tell anybody your weight. I was so ashamed to tell people what my weight was. But again, it goes back to admitting certain things, being true, being open, having that conversation with myself, saying, I never want to go back there. So how do I stay here? Yeah. The way I stay here is by openly sharing it, because you know my story, whether it's in words or pictures or videos. And if I go back, I want you to call me out, guys. I want you to say, hey, Libby, remember that picture in the bathing suit on the beach? You don't look like that no more. I want you to say that to me if you see me and I look like crap. So I was at a boardroom meeting. So I'm in Dan Martell's boardroom. There's only a small group of us allowed, and I think he's got like 40 people. And one of my good friends, he's the guy who got me onto the carnivore diet, right? He looked phenomenal like 3 months prior. We meet every quarter in person. He looked great. And then in Denver this summer, I walked up to him and I was like, his name's David. I was like, hey, David, you don't look very good. Like, you've put on some weight. And you know, and that was like the first thing I said to him. I hadn't seen him in a quarter. Not like, hey, how are you? Oh my God, you look great. No, like there's no fluff, no baloney. And that's what I said to him. I was like, David, man, like you're not looking that great. You've put on a few pounds. Is everything okay? And he was like, actually, he's like, I can't stop. Like he couldn't stop eating certain things. Like he's just like, I just want a granola bar. And so he came back later. Dude, the guy come back. He's ripped, got a six pack. And he goes, Libby, I just want to thank you because you called me out. Nobody else said, it was me and another person said, like, something's going on. You don't look that great. And he said, I was just struggling. He goes, but you called me out and I want to thank you for that. Most people won't do that. And that's why, like, I posted that picture was to say, hey, call me out. If I don't look like that the next time you see me, call me out, because now you know the inside. And if we don't do these things, there ain't no one to call us out. We ain't going to call ourselves out.
Right. And I don't want to be bold to say it, but, you know, if you wouldn't have called him out, he might have still been on and off and just not as locked in as he is right now with his health journey and, you know, how he is right now. I mean, I see posts from him every day. And
oh, he's on it now.
Yeah. He's on it.
Cause,
he's good.
Because I'm going to see him again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know if I don't look the same, you're going to say something to me. And I probably will.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, for me, that's why I did it. But if you're on that journey of self-discovery, tell the world so that we know it's okay to call you out, like if something happens. And I did it with kindness and empathy, but it's that kind candor. Like, I'm kind, but I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm going to be real.
I'm going to be real. That's why I had 87 people unfollow me in the last month. Down. Chris has seen me struggle for years with weight. With years. Now, man, I can eat as much as I want of the foods within our journey. And I'm no longer hungry and no longer struggle. It's just incredible.
I will say that it is really cool I learned the concept of what true weight means, because everybody says, I need to lose weight. I need to do this and that. There's the idea of there's a true weight that your body sits at.
To be.
It regulates itself at that true weight, but it never reaches that. And I'm getting a little bit extreme here, but with certain other diets or things that you eat, you never achieve that true weight balance. And so that's why it's always difficult until there's certain things that are either in or out.
Yes. You say all business owners have something wrong with them. Like business owners, like we're either like ADD, ADHD, dyslexic. I think I'm dyslexic. I see all like words and numbers backwards.
Oh no. Yeah. She's definitely she's speaking Spanish and English.
Yeah. I also grew up speaking Spanish and English. So I am I'm fluent. I'm bilingual in Spanish. Or my brain moves so fast that when I'm reading, like I'm blurring all the lines. You should see my handwriting. It's like hieroglyphs.
Exactly.
See, I can't even say it.
Hieroglyphs.
Hieroglyphs. Whatever. But yeah, I'm like, and then my mom and my sister make fun of me all the time. Not like, they're like, we don't know how you own so many businesses when you can't even spell. I can't spell to save my life. I can do math really well. Math, I'm good at. Numbers, I'm great at. I have a memory like you cannot believe. I can remember anything, but I can't spell. And then when I read, I'm like, am I dyslexic? Why am I looking at this backwards? But anyways, totally off topic. So, you know, and that's why for me, that's why I've really enjoyed sharing this new journey of like health and weight loss and clarity and like what we're trying to achieve. And me and Chris, like doing this, we're not selling anything. We're not trying to do anything, you know, sharing through our journey. Cause I've spent a tremendous amount of money hiring coaches, like doing wellness work, breath work, and money and time just trying to learn this. And you think this would be easy, but again, I think we don't want to be judged. We're scared of what society might say. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.